Hello and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 101, Codes and Activations of COVID-19. I'm Michelle Hawk and I'm here with my Shaman sister, Catherine Bird. It is our great joy to bring you this podcast. We just celebrated our 100th episode and we're now shifting into triple digits. Yay! Thanks for being present with us throughout this journey and continuing to engage. If you enjoy our work, please subscribe. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can follow us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. Go ahead and click your 5-star rating or 4. That's okay too. We'll take 4 stars if you feel so inclined, just so that we can help get this information in front of more people, and leave us a review. Let us know how you like it. And you can always comment on any of our videos on YouTube and or send us an email and we'll see that if you have anything you want to add. But today we are continuing this deep dive journey into some of the stuff that's been going on energetically with our global upheaval, and continuing the theme of our last episode where we talked about transformation and awakening through COVID-19. So thanks for joining us for this continued conversation. Kat, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, actually. You know, it seems like there should be a caveat to that or something, that we should not be doing well. But no, even though there's so much happening and so much going on, I feel amazing, which I feel like I shouldn't say, because I should, like, you know, I should be, what do you call that when you're, you know, I should be
commiserating.
I wish you commiserating. Exactly. Yeah. I should be in it with everyone. And I am so in it. I'm so in it. But what that looks like is a lot of supporting people and, you know, messaging with people and being on support calls. I've been running every week on Sundays and having really deep conversations with people, and and then also being very deep in my own practices and my qigong and prayer and meditation and study, and then also in my house planting seeds and, you know, redoing my plants, and just feeling very inspired in this moment. And I think that maybe some of you might be able to relate that, you know, we've been training up for this for quite a long time and kind of, you know, moving through our stuff and doing all of this training work. And then it's like, here it is. And it's like, oh yeah, I was built for this, right? I was made for this moment when there would be this, you know, action, right? This, like, okay, we're all in this together, and this is in some ways really inspiring. So I feel very inspired by this, and very activated and powerful, and doing a lot of practices to be able to maintain that and to stay in that frequency. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so how are you doing, Michelle?
I'm also great, actually, and I've had a similar...
Sorry, right? We're so great. You know, yeah. If you're not great, that's okay too. Like, wherever you're at is perfect.
Yes, and it's not that, you know, it's funny. I was having basically the same conversation with somebody a few days ago. Like, I feel awesome, and like, I almost feel a little bit bad about how awesome I feel in light of the global circumstances. But again, you know, if you're not feeling awesome, that's okay. We love you. We're still present with all of the things that are happening. You know, this feeling of awesomeness does not preclude an awareness of global upheaval and challenge and turmoil and the fear response and the trauma response that everybody's going through. I do feel really present with that too, but I feel it more from this empowered, uplifted, excited, grounded. I feel really grounded. I feel really stable. I feel really strong. I feel really, Kat, exactly, I think you said it really well, is I have literally been training for this my whole life in terms of, in so many ways. And I'm just offering myself a lot of gratitude for my own practices and for my teachings and for everything that I've learned, offering a lot of gratitude to the grace that I have received to put me in the position that I'm in now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I also feel that too. I feel incredibly guided and in my life and all of these different initiations and awakenings and trainings that I've been through. And I know you have too, Michelle, and we've done a lot of episodes on things like initiations and all of these awakening pieces that we've been a part of. And then to be offered that this space of stability in the midst of this, which is such a blessing. And I know that there are a lot of people who are still in a space of awakening, and this is your initiation, mm-hmm. and this is an initiation globally. So, if you feel maybe like, well, fuck, I wish I was more stable right now. I wish I felt like that. Just know that this is part of your initiation process and part of your transformation process as well. And it doesn't mean that you've been doing anything wrong or that you aren't guided or that you're not being taken care of at a very high level. If you feel a little unstable, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And to everyone else out there who is feeling really grounded and feeling really supported, I know all the conversations that I've been having with recently with other service providers or even my clients who are in a caretaking role, people are feeling that call of, okay, how can I share from this place of love and support and joy and maintaining this higher perspective, like we were talking about in the last episode, of being present with the earthly reality and also present with this cosmic perspective of what's going on. How do we share from the most empowered place the healthy union of those for the benefit of all beings? And so as we're in this place, you know, today we're talking about codes and activations and these initiations where I think we want to address that from our personal activation and initiation, as Kat was mentioning, with maybe this is part of your awakening experience and this is a big old shadow initiation that you're going through and shit's going to be really uncomfortable for a while. That might be part of what you're experiencing personally. Maybe as you've already been through many initiations, you're noticing further things that are being activated in you, different codes that are turning on. We're going to be addressing some of that too. And then on the planetary level, some of the codes and frequencies that we as a collective society are being activated into and initiated into also at this time and the ripple effects of those. So again, looking at this kind of from all these levels of what is being woken up in us, what are the most effective tools and practices that we have to be present with that? Again, in addition to all the episodes that we've done on initiatory experiences and activation experiences in the past, go ahead and tune back into those if that would be helpful. Actually, if that would be helpful for you, I recommend that you go back and tune into those. And then looking at, you know, kind of where do we go from here and what do we see with our best possible best guesses and best visioning into the future of how do we feel really empowered in sharing that moving forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Kat, let's talk about initiation. Initiations of, I don't know, where do you want to start with that? What's feeling really lit up for you to talk about that?
Of this particular, initiation?
Sure. We got a lot of ground to cover. We got nothing but time.
Got a lot of ground to cover for sure.
Yeah.
I feel that what I am witnessing a lot in my clients and then people who are reaching out to me right now is this,
I just had another idea. Okay. And I also... I also want us to address, because I think this would be helpful for people, and we touched upon this just a little bit, I think, in the last episode. Uh-huh. But what initiations have you already had that are putting you in the place of feeling really empowered right now? Mm-hmm. And so we can give people some of those things that have that may have already been activated or awoken within you in the past, so that you can fully claim and embody those gifts and work from that place too. So I want to include that as well.
Okay. I think that a lot of people are witnessing this as an initiation into like personal power and service. Mm-hmm. And that in this, we get this really intense and beautiful wake-up call around, well, I've been afraid of showing who I am, of offering my gifts, of saying, here, this is my service. This is the way I engage with the world. This is how I see healing or spiritual work or anything. And I've been holding that back and holding it down and keeping it in and not wanting it to be seen and not wanting people to judge me and not wanting to share because I have doubt and fear and all of these things. And I see a lot of people that are like, I cannot do that anymore. I cannot live one more day not doing the thing that I was born to do, the thing that is the most innate aspect of who I am, no matter how strange it is, no matter how much it doesn't fit into my current reality, no matter if it's not what people are expecting of me. You know, it's like, no, I'm refusing to continue to live a life not expressed in my truest gifts and not sharing what I came to share and not being who I came to be, because how much time do I have left? How much time does the world have left? How many people am I not supporting and not affecting? And how much am I not contributing by holding this in for one more day, one more hour, one more minute?
Mm-hmm. Love that. Big time initiations into service and purpose. And in the expression of that, there's kind of a parallel piece I want to chime in. One of the things that I'm seeing being activated is this code of devotion. And devotion being kind of the flip side of discipline, right? We can look at, and this is related to this initiation into practice, right? A wake up call, y'all, if you have been waiting for spirit to smack you over the head with an invitation to get on it with your practice, your personal practice, or to get into your body, this is it. This is the sign you've been waiting for to really activate your devotion, to activate your relationship with your body, to activate your personal practice. And I'm seeing kind of a flip relationship. Someone posted a meme the other day that I loved. It was, what's her name? Rosie the Riveter, the lady with the, you know, we can do it, the arm and the scarf, right? Rosie the Riveter. It was her picture. And it said, self-care is now your civic duty. And I loved that, meaning, you know, staying healthy and staying grounded and taking care of yourself and putting as little strain as possible on medical systems and on social systems to support you instead of just relying on yourself. And it feels like the word that keeps wanting to come up is around the code of devotion, of how can we shift our relationship from practice and shift our relationship from service or how we would be offering support or responsibility to other people instead of having it be from this place of discipline or obligation of I have to do this thing. Instead, I get to do this thing. I get to do this thing for myself. I get to be invested in my practice, in my well-being, and let that spill over from a place of loving generosity and free giving to all the people around me. So that's one of the soul codes I see being activated with in conjunction with the service and the purpose stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What I'm seeing on my calls and such, it's like, well, who's struggling and who's thriving? And pretty much the people who are in their devotion, in their service, and in their practices are feeling like they're okay. And people who are like, yeah, I just haven't been able to, and I just don't, and I'm just not doing, and so on, are finding themselves really having a rough time of it. Because those practices, whatever practices you're doing, whether it's yoga, qigong, breath work, you know, meditation, prayer, all the things, you know, physically exercising your body, getting out into nature, hiking, swimming, like all of the things that you can be doing that you're doing for yourself as a specific self-care practice. Those things keep you centered and grounded and connected to more than just the mundane reality of where we, you know, usually have our thoughts and feelings around what we're scared of or what could go wrong, and get us into a different state of mind, a different heart space, and allow us to see things from the different perspectives. So we're able to have a larger, greater context of what's happening in our lives and with the and with others, where we stop just responding to the world. We start cultivating that ability to be in presence and be in pause and be in waiting and being okay with that, that that's an okay thing to be. And that within that, then we have more power. We're not giving our power away to everything. We're not giving our power away to every video somebody sends you on Facebook and every thing that somebody writes and every news article you read and every person that you talk to, that all of a sudden now your energy is wrapped up in their energy and moving in their direction and believing what they're believing and taking in all this stuff and having it affect you. That is really easy right now because there's so much noise out there. But when we're in those space of those practices, and we're developing the consistency of that, so that then if that stuff comes in and you see yourself going down that rabbit hole, whatever rabbit hole that is, then you're like, oh, actually I'm going down a rabbit hole. Is this serving me? No, it's not. And, you know, make a different choice.
Yeah. You'll already have the neural pathway and the energetic pathway in place to be able to recognize it, to be able to mitigate your response, and to be able to be generative and creative in guiding your experience in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because you have things to go to. You have someplace else to go besides your mind, which will mess you up every time.
Oh my gosh. Yes. The mind fucks you up more than anything else, for sure. And as we're in this space of practice, you know, it's sort of looking at our relationship to practice before COVID-19 and our relation to practice now. It's funny. I was having this conversation with somebody where they were saying, like, yeah, it was a lot easier for me to get away with not doing my daily practice 3 weeks ago. And now it's kind of this non-negotiable experience. And I said, yeah, okay. So all the things that you'd been avoiding about, like, being present with yourself and cultivating resilience and cultivating self-trust, it's thrown into very dramatic relief right now. We're in a high stakes environment, right? We're in a high stakes situation where the collective experience is loaded with fear, loaded with grief, loaded with anger, loaded with uncertainty. This is an unprecedented situation in our modern community. None of us know what is going to happen. And so the more resilience that we have and the higher our degree of comfort with uncertainty, the more easily we're going to be able to stay in our center. And that's right. Something, those two pieces, resilience and comfortable being uncertain, those are things that you train for in your practice.
Right. And we've been talking about this for the last 100 episodes. So if you've been with us, now you know what we were talking about this whole time, like why we're like, here's all these things. Here's why you should pay attention. Because we've been kind of preaching on the pulpit about all of these pieces around being embodied and grounded and in devotion and in service and in your practice and understanding your own system and what your system does and the way that it's going to freak out when it freaks out, the way that it deals with stress and what you need to do, the tools and techniques and the practices that you need in order to mitigate that stress. Yeah,
that's a really good point, right? Of like knowing your patterns and knowing what is most likely to trigger your stress or overwhelm or fear and anxiety, and how to engage with that in a really effective way to mitigate your response when you do, and how to avoid what you don't need.
we all have these different response patterns, and we all have our different trauma patterns from our childhood and different beliefs and things like that. And whatever they are, they're probably going to be activated at some point. And me saying that I feel amazing and inspired and everything, it doesn't mean that I don't have moments when I'm like, holy fuck, or worried about someone that I care about, or really feeling a lot like being on, you know, messaging with somebody who is taking their beloved to the hospital and really feeling the weight of that. And it doesn't mean that I'm not in the experience of this, and that there aren't going to be moments when my trauma gets triggered and my my soothing patterns don't come out. And then my choices, right? Well, is my soothing pattern going to be to go and, you know, drink a bottle of wine and eat a box of cookies and watch Netflix? That could be one choice for my soothing pattern. I could totally see myself doing that, right? Or my soothing pattern could be reading a spiritual text and taking a long bath and doing some Qigong and going outside and, you know, redoing my plants and like really moving my body, like creating life. So we're all going to have those moments when we kind of fall into the thing. We have a conversation with somebody that really triggers us. Maybe somebody we love is having a really hard time. And then we get to choose, and hopefully we choose a little bit better every day in every way, better and better.
Yes. That's your go-to chant. Absolutely. And as we're in this, you know, looking at what else are we being invited into? So we talked about service and purpose and devotion, and then translating that practice. And this is one of the other pieces just related to this, translating the personal practice into our service and our purpose. And I think, you know, one of the reasons that, again, as Kat and I have been doing this for a long time, we've both, you know, we're long established in our businesses, in our practice of supporting people, we're really well established in personal practice. So this piece has already been there of the reason that we are able to be an anchor point as, and I feel pretty confident saying, you know, speaking for both of us, that we are helping anchor a lot of people right now. In terms of the people that we're supporting directly, but then also friends and community, whatever. And maybe you, as you're watching, you're this person too, but the reason that we're able to do that really effectively is because of how invested we are in our practices. So if you take nothing else away from this episode, please get your personal practice in order, get that fully online, get your devotion, committed, no question. And again, if you want additional resources, there are a bajillion references in all of our past episodes on how you can do that. Mm-hmm. And
you can also reach out to us, you know, you can also reach out to us and tell us where you're at, and we can help you out with that. So beyond this, when we're talking about codes, and we've had some different episodes where we've talked about sort of receiving different codes and receiving different initiations and different experiences that we're activating aspects of ourselves. And so, you know, we talk a lot about service, right? And we talk a lot about practice. And then there's also, I think, these codes of consciousness that are being worked with right now. And we've been talking a lot recently, especially about our DNA and our changing of our internal codes, like down to the act through the actual biology, and working with our consciousness and the shift in consciousness that we're witnessing, which right now is in context of a change in consciousness. Anytime that generally you have a significant change in consciousness, there is some pushback internally, in which we would see as the ego death, where there is a part of self which has gotten comfortable being as it is, and it is being asked to change. It's being asked to go away entirely or completely reconfigure itself. And that is that ego death experience, which can feel like like dying in a lot of ways. It can feel so confronting, and it can bring up all kinds of old, sort of memories and traumas. It can bring up a lot of emotions, anger, frustration, great frustration in the expanse of the ego death, and wanting it to be over, but not knowing exactly how to get through it, and being confused, feeling maybe like you thought you were getting somewhere. You thought you were getting somewhere in your consciousness. You thought you were becoming more evolved. And then you're like, oh my God, I am completely unevolved. I've gone backwards.
And we've all been there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, well, does any of that sound familiar right now? Does any of that sound familiar on the collective level? It sounds super familiar to what we're all experiencing here. And so we are in a collective initiation in a shift in consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so those consciousness codes are there and they're available to us, but the process of us taking those on and integrating them into our beings on a collective level happens to look like this right now.
Yeah. And these consciousness codes, Kat, I love what you're saying about looking at, like, you know, the process of what that feels like. I feel like the people who would be tuning into this podcast, so if you're here, this is probably not a new idea to you, that we are a collective consciousness when we use that term, and that we all have access to the energies of everyone and every being that ever was and ever is, and energy is oneness, all of that, etc. Not a new idea to you, probably, if you're tuning in here. However, there are a lot of people on the planet for whom that is a brand new idea, and they probably don't even have the vocabulary for it, and yet we as a collective, a planetary collective, just got dunked into this massive initiation cycle. And these people who have no context for the collective consciousness and for this, this energetic structure of the planet that we're talking about here that we kind of take for granted, they all of a sudden just walked through this portal, and their energy is now heightened and attuned more, whether they're consciously realizing it or not, most of them probably not, but their energy is now, the volume has been turned up, and we who are aware of that are feeling that. So please understand that that's probably part of what's happening too. That's, I had a moment where I got really, really out of whack, I don't know, a week and a half ago or something. And, you know, again, there's going to be more of those moments because I'm human, right? But that's what I was tuning into. When I realized it later, I was like, oh shit, what I'm feeling is not my own panic response. It's everyone else's panic response, not just in terms of the global situation of what's happening, but all of a sudden, all these people had the veil lifted an inch or so on the level of connectivity and resonance that we have access to, and their systems are freaking out because they don't have any structures in place to understand it.
Exactly. And then there are some groups and individuals who are so kind of actively against that being true that it's like they're, you know, like internally, like just really railing against this as a thing. And, you know, what was it? I was talking to a gun dealer a couple of days ago, and I talked to two people that were involved with guns, and he was saying that the number of new gun registrations where you have to go through the Department of Justice and you have to get, you know, a background check or whatever, is 300 times what it was a year ago. So
wow. 300 times.
He was like in this month, right? Or whatever. And then this other guy was like, yeah, I have a friend who's a gun dealer and he sold $30,000 worth of guns and bullets yesterday.
Wow.
Right? So there is a that is America, right? Like that's America. So,
America. Yeah.
So there is a, you know, a group collective, you know, we easily can slip back into very tribal thinking and tribal orientation toward baser tendencies of safety and kind of very root oriented ways of being and thinking. And we're kind of moving up, right? We're evolving into more of being able to access and enter into our heart space and being in compassionate alignment with others and the environment and nature. And that's where we're going. So for a lot of us, we're sort of headed in this direction. And then there's these others that are sort of headed in the other direction because they're trying to hold on to and anchor the only thing that they know, right? Which is like the root sense of self and safety. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of, you can just think of it if like you were a balloon in the water and you're trying to rise up to the surface and then you have like, you know, some big person sort of squishing down the balloon. Like there's a certain, and you're feeling the pressure of the water on all sides of you. And you know that you're going up, but there's also like pressure from the outside coming in on your, you know, air that you hold on this, you know, compassionate field that you're holding. And then there's also this like pressure down that's trying to, you know, hold you in. Like that's a lot of tension that's being created in the system right now. So all of that tension is something that you're seeing, but if you can relate to it, like from that level of this is a tension field that I am accessing. This is a tension field that we're all in an experience of right now. And to look at it more from that energetic level of tension. And okay, well, what's the benefit of tension? Well, there's a great benefit in tension because when we pull something back and we pull the bow back and we take it to its fullest, most tense place where all of the pressure is being engaged in the system, then when we let go and actually open, then the arrow is going to shoot very far, right? The balloon is going to pop straight out of the water. There is going to be a release in the tension because that's how tension works. It doesn't stay in tension indefinitely. At some point, it opens itself and it becomes an opening toward something further and faster than what would be created without the tension. So you can see this as like on an energetic level, more of a being in a potential field, which is what it keeps coming in. Like we're in the potential field. And that potential field is very great. We have a very high potential toward moving towards something further than what we would have been able to accomplish otherwise based on the tension that we're creating here.
Yeah, the bow image is a really good one. Another one that you can think about it is a pendulum, right? Like imagine if you're hanging on a rope and you're trying to get to a place, like for some reason you fall off a cliff and you're hanging on a rope, but you're like really, you know, far away from the cliff. If you start swinging and you build up enough momentum, then, you know, swinging all the way back over here, yes, it's taking you farther away from the edge, but ultimately it'll give you the energy that you need to make that pendulum swing all the way in this other direction. One other piece that we're talking about in relation to this is what Kat's describing in terms of the collective, you know, having people who are embodying this collective frequency of, yes, I'm agreeing to hold this, this energy of love and compassion and unity consciousness and community orientation. And then we also have people who are like, but I don't wanna, I'm gonna buy a gun, right? That's a phenomenon that is not unique in the awakening process. And so I invite you all to just kind of take a moment and think about some sort of ego death experience or some sort of awakening experience that you had within your own personal consciousness you had all of those parts within you. You had the part of yourself, like the inner, you know, the inner awakened soul, the inner untamed soul, who's like, I'm ready to be as big as I am. I'm ready to shout my truth from the rooftops. I'm ready to be seen. And you had the other little part of you inside you that's saying, but I don't wanna, I'm gonna go buy a gun instead and protect myself, right? This, again, we can look at this macrocosmic experience of society where there are the people who are excited and empowered and uplifted by this. Of, I'm going to show up. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to love more. And then there are the people who are like, no thanks. I'm going to, like, you know, buy guns and keep my clan safe. That, again, we don't need to vilify these people. We just need to understand they're exactly like the inner parts of ourselves that had that response. Right. And I can guarantee
there is nothing
you,
separate.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you, you know, you had that response. Part of you was rebelling. Part of you wanted to go buy a gun. I know for me, absolutely. I had that response in these initiation moments of, I don't want to, I want to stay the same. That's not safe out there. And then with our collective processing of this, we're able to integrate and love and have compassion for and bring these parts of ourselves on board. Just like that's, you know, that's how we're going to do this with these people too, is like, hey, this is what it actually means to be a part of a collective global community. We love you. Come here. Let's hug it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. They might have too many guns. Might not happen in this lifetime, yeah. But you get what I mean.
Right. Yeah. And in that, right, we also can see that larger picture of in this lifetime, right? Like in this lifetime, there are a lot of people who are holding this frequency. They're holding the frequency of these lower, baser elements of human nature. And they are, like, we can feel an enormous amount of compassion because they're willing to hold that frequency for us. In a lot of ways, because coming back to what we're saying, like when we start to look at it from the perspective of nothing, none of this is outside of us. When we start to look at it as everything is a reflection of me and my internal reality and my internal work, then we can have compassion for the entirety of the experience, for every single person and what they're going through, and for all of it, everything. I was in the bathtub this morning, and I've been, maybe you guys have been receiving information from friends or watching videos or whatever about the dark forces at play here. And the dark forces that are looking to take us over and to take us over with the virus of fear and the, you know, vaccine, I guess, a fear. I don't know. It's also, right? They're going to take us over and keep us from ascending. Like, we're ascending and the dark forces are going to keep us from ascending. And I can hold space that there's, you know, some, like, sure. Okay. So sure. Yeah. All right. But what I see a lot in this is that it doesn't actually create a more loving, compassionate, beneficial, creative, life-affirming energy inside the system when I tune into it. Mm-hmm. Personally, whatever works for you is great. But for me personally, how I look at my own personal spirituality, it's like, well, does that bring me into a higher alignment with a higher vibration? Or am I somehow, like, trying to fix my vibration so that I don't succumb to the dark forces? Mm-hmm. Which then puts me in a combative experience, even with my own vibration and my own spirituality. Like, well, but I've got to do this because then I will succumb and I will be la. And then it's like, oh, but the vaccine, I have to be so scared of the vaccine, because the truth is, you guys, if there's a vaccine, you might not take it, but everybody else will. So then if we buy into this thing that somehow the dark forces have taken us over with 5G and the vaccine, then when we see 5G and the vaccine spread across the world, well, then you might as well throw in the towel because you just lost, right? Instead of being like, yeah, I'm beyond that. Like, that, you guys, you know, dark forces, like, I laugh at you, like 5G and the vaccine, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm fine. We're fine. We're going to ascend. Like, I am already ascended in every way, right? Like we're fine. We're fine. And it feels like it's like the dark forces, whatever that means. It's like, they don't have to do anything except for be like, have people propagating the fact that they exist for us to have this sort of fear response inside of our body that we need to be fighting these dark forces. So that for me, what I look at is I go, okay, well, if nothing is outside of me, if I am creation being lived through the human form to experience the myriad of all things in a world of duality where there is the awareness of duality, then how am I in relationship to dark forces? Because the dark forces are not outside of me. They're inside of me. They're part of who I am because I was born into a world of duality to experience it, to experience what this is. So if I look at it that way, then I can look at, okay, well, then how am I creating, as the creator that I am, how am I creating ways for me to be in fear so that I experience fear? So that I am actually feeding on my own fear. Because you'll notice that when you're in fear, it creates more fear. You're actually feeding on it. You're creating more of it. It's making you stronger, not in the direction that you necessarily want to be, but it's making you super powerful in fear. Like you, it's like a drug in some ways, right? You get super hyped up. You can't sleep. You don't even want to eat. You're all spinning out. You can't stop talking about it. It's activating.
It is activating. What you're describing is like it, and it's easy to create a pattern of addiction to that because our bodies and our lower consciousness reads that as, oh, I'm getting more powerful. I have access to more energy. And it's right. You do have more access to more energy, but is it the type of energy that you want to be working with?
Right.
Is it creative potential? No.
Right. Right. And yeah. Are you using that to create more, to be more fear? Like spreading more fear. Now I'm going to tell my friend about it. Now I'm going to do this about it. Now I'm going to blah, 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 blah. I'm going to post on Facebook about it because I have fear. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, are you creating more of the same by engaging with it in that way? Or are you, what I've been sitting with is like, okay, well, then how am I my own dark forces? How am I my own global elite of dark entities that are trying to take over my system and make me afraid? And when I look at it that way, then I go, oh, okay, well, those are the thoughts that I use to create that. And those are the habits and the patterns that I use to create that. And those are the interactions with others that I use to create that. And within that, then all of a sudden, I've taken back all my power. I am no longer giving my power to anything else. And I can then see through the field that this is all energy and I have access to it. And I can actually suck that energy into my body and use it to create more power, more creativity, more compassion, more engaged life force. And not be giving it away to anything else. And so that's where I've been on all of this of like, okay, great. There's all of these things, all of these stories, all of these possibilities, every possibility within the universe of multiverses is actually true. So how am I going to engage with it? What's my PowerPoint inside of this?
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge initiation for me because like, I think that I've been working, in some of these ways, like I've been processing all of this and working with it in maybe more of an intellectual way. And then now through all of my practices and all of my trainings and all of my, you know, sitting in contemplation on all of this, I feel like it's anchoring even more fully into my system and into my body in maybe a way that it wouldn't have otherwise, because I can sort of gloss over it because I don't have to deal with it so much, right? I can be like, oh, well, that's over there. It's not about me. But when I choose to go, no, it's actually is about me. So what if it was more deeply about me? Then I can use it in a way that's going to create something positive.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing that we can possibly ask. It's funny you're going into such great depths with that cat. I haven't seen anything about the dark forces, or that's all new to me. I didn't know.
Oh
that
my gosh. There's so much stuff out there about dark forces. People are sending me videos. People are messaging me. People are posting about it on Facebook. It's a thing, you know.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that. So, okay, I guess my dark forces are showing up in other areas, TBD. I don't know what they are yet, but so with this, you know, an invitation for all of you to sit with, you know, Kat's bringing up some great points around what is the relationship that we're having to the, you know, to this lens of how we're looking at this. I mean, my thing that, again, I haven't seen a whole lot of this, but I definitely have that part of me that kind of sits in the back of my mind of like, this sounds like totalitarianism waiting to happen. Maybe sure. It is, right? TBD, you know, we'll figure that out. And I don't really get super spun out about it, but that's just in my awareness of, you know, the political and financial global implications of this whole thing and the impacts that has on our societal sense of freedom and liberation. And then of course, looking at, well, what is my own sense of freedom and liberation? And what is that version of sovereignty like in my life? So in terms of initiations, as far as that goes, I mean, that's a really big one of looking at how are we taking responsibility, like Kat was talking about, taking responsibility for her experience to look at this perspective of, as we create our reality, how are we participating in that really actively? I would say one of the initiations that I'm currently experiencing is around this idea of, how do I translate this essence that I have that I feel really good in? Again, because looking at, I feel awesome right now. I feel super supported. I have a lot of tools and practices that are helping me feel awesome and super supported. And again, I have literally been training for this moment for my entire life. I have been learning and studying and practicing and devoting myself to shadow initiations and shadow work and cultivating resilience and getting really good at being uncertain and uncomfortable. Like I'm in an awesome place right now, and I want to share that with people. And how do I translate that into inviting people to come into this experience with me? And one of the ways in which I'm butting up against my own resistance around that is, like, I don't want people to think that I'm using COVID-19 as an opportunity to profit off of people being not awesome. Does that make sense? Like, that's, you know, one of my personal initiations I'm going through right now.
I think we're all in that a little bit, you know. I wrote about this in one of my recent newsletters where actually we had a discussion on the phone, and you were like expressing this. And I was like, well, but if you are holding yourself back from being of service and from offering something that could really help people right now, then how is that like your code, or how is that, you know, what you came to do? And just because there's COVID-19, like, it like doesn't mean that you or I or any other service provider instantly, I paid my rent yesterday. It's very expensive. Right. You know, I went to the grocery, like, you know, it's, I don't have any less bills now than I did a month ago, just like everyone else. And so I feel like, yes, I'm definitely, you know, offering more sliding scale and working with people on pricing and doing things like that. You know, I was about to jack up my, you know, my consultation fee. I was, you know, it's not very much, and I was going to double it because that felt in alignment, but I'm not doing that. Right. I'm like, okay, that's not happening.
Right. And I know this is a thing that we're all experiencing, and this, you know, I'm, I'm getting kind of a loop back to other areas in my life and in my work where I have avoided being seen. And I think that's one of these pieces right now, in addition to, and I'm putting it out there anyway, people. And so I invite you to put it out there anyway too. Like, despite, you know, people saying, oh, you're profiting from this situation, I'm like, yes, that I am. And, but not in a, any kind of skeezy way. I'm profiting because I'm helping people and I have tools to help people. Like, all of a sudden you're not expecting toilet paper companies and doctors to start giving away their stuff for free because, you know, that no, they're still getting to charge because they've trained their entire lives for this moment too. And it's this, but the part around me for my personal initiation is being seen, being as open and as grounded and as confident as I am, and letting myself see that, and really trust my practices of like, yes, I'm good. I'm great, actually. I'm not even good. I'm great. And I have the tools to support me. I know what I'm talking about. I know I can hold space for myself and my people like a rock star, and inviting people into that experience with me. That feels like this like continued edge of, are you sure? Oh, this is another thing. Like what Kat was talking about with the balloon and the tension, right? As we're collectively going through these initiation experiences, there are going to be moments where we're tested in this, where, and I call them, are you sure moments. Kat and I were talking about this yesterday, right? In terms of declaring, you know, making a change in your life, making a declaration to spirit and saying, okay, spirit, this is now the way that I am. I am declaring that I am now this way. Spirit's going to say, uh-huh, are you sure? Here's an opportunity that you have to do your old pattern. Right. Mm-hmm. So as we're collectively being initiated into declaring, okay, spirit, I'm going to start offering my service that I've been sitting on for years and now I can't bear to not do it another day. I'm going to really live in my compassionate heart and I'm committing to, you know, to be a healer, whatever it is. Spirit's going to say, are you sure? Here's a challenge and here's a trial where you get to stand with yourself 1,000% in that fire, stand by your commitment, grip it with your fists and say, yes, I'm fucking sure, and move through that experience. And that's going to happen. We're going to get a lot of are you sure moments. My invitation for you is to say yes to as many of them as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, are you sure?
Oh my gosh. So many of them. So many of them are you sure moments. Right. Yeah, because we're changing really rapidly. We're changing really fast. And so there's going to be lots of ups and downs, you guys. There's mm-hmm. going to be heartbreak and grief in this. There's going to be grief. There's not one life that this is not going to personally touch. I'm pretty certain that in some way this is going to touch everybody, all of us. And in that we get to rise and, you know, have our hearts broken open and come into greater alignment and clarity and compassion and unity and on the planet. And, you know, this might not have been the wake-up call that you had wanted the world to have, but none of us can deny that we've been waiting for to be shaken up a little bit.
We were always going to have some sort of dark night of the soul initiation. Always, because again, like we talked about in our last episode, that's how transformation works.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't listened to the last episode, go back and listen to episode 100. We talked a lot about the alchemical process and the process that we are in right now. I can't remember what else we talked about, but it was amazing.
Right. We talked about, from the shamanic and alchemical perspective, death always comes before rebirth, and we are in a death cycle right now. That's what's happening. Our structures and our systems are dying and energy is moving through this dark night of the soul initiation. And for anyone who was tapped into the way of things and the collective consciousness, we always knew at some point, probably pretty soon slash like now, you know, I was thinking it was going to come in the form of, you know, some big climate crisis, right? And I guess, you know, COVID-19 is connected to the climate crisis, because as the planetary temperature warms up, it becomes more habitable for different viruses and different pathogens. So yeah, COVID-19 and climate change are very related, very intertwined. Yeah, and
I knew it was going to be a virus.
Yes, you knew. And then there was some other Sandra something like in the 80s predicted a global virus in 2020, which I still have to go back and look at because I don't remember exactly what that was. But yes, a handful of people predicted
Sylvia
virus.
Sylvia Brown.
Huh?
Right? Sylvia Brown. Is that her name?
Oh, I thought it was Sandra. Maybe. All right. But yeah, predicted a global pandemic like we're experiencing right now And so for whether we predicted the way it was happening or not, we knew there was going to be a global shitstorm, bad, something significant. And, you know, and I say the word bad, there's nothing wrong. I want to emphasize that again. I think we talked about that last time, but like, yes, there are lots of people dying. There are lots of people going through and more people are going to die, right? There are all sorts of very uncomfortable and very challenging circumstances that are happening. And again, from the energetic perspective, there is nothing wrong. This is how transformation works. And the best thing that we can do is to be present with our tools, again, coming back to our practices and our knowledge of how energy works, so that we can be aligned with this cosmic evolution and know that, again, we are creation being lived through a human experience. And so, yes, I am me and I am Kat and I am you and I am all the people who are dying and I'm the koalas and I'm the polar bears and the plants and all of these things. And we are all being impacted and acted upon by this transformational force. So what initiation is being asked of you? What invitation is being offered to you to step into through that portal for the benefit of all beings? It's not just about us individually and our personal awakening anymore. It's a collective awakening. What role are you playing in the collective awakening? And what commitments do you want to make to spirit? What declarations do you want to make that then spirit can say, are you sure? And you can say yes to those. What is being asked of you?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we can leave you with that inquiry and maybe to, you know, that invitation to go and do some journaling, really looking at what is this initiation for you and what is it inspiring in you and causing you to remember about yourself and to be in deep contemplation where we've all been sent home to be in the contemplation of this and not from a place of fear or any of those things, but from a place of curiosity and growth and looking at the potential and being with that inside of yourself and that invitation to do some really deep soul searching right now and writing and letting yourself feel everything and move everything through your body and not be attached to any of the stories that are coming through and just let yourself be with the initiations and the codes that this is creating for you.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for saying yes to these invitations and agreeing. I will say that you have already agreed, since you're here on this planet, you have already agreed to be a part of this transformation. So thank you. We're here with you and we have also agreed to be part of this transformation for the planet and for the benefit of all beings. But we see you, we love you, we honor you, and we are so, so happy and grateful to walk this path with you. And to wrap, Kat, what ways do you have that you'd like to invite people to receive support from you?
If you want to reach out to me and get on my list, I am hosting free weekly support calls where we drop in. If you want to speak and be seen, you have that opportunity to receive support from the collective, from me personally, and offer reflection or anything that you're realizing or moving through right now. We enter into a space of contemplation and meditation, energy practice. This last week we worked with fear. We're doing some emotional alchemy practices and prayer and sort of holding that space together. So if you want to do that with me, then jump on board and get on my list. And then I'm working on a membership thing where I want to offer a bunch of stuff, but I'm trying to figure out how it all fits together. So that'll be coming soon so that I have an easy way for you to get more of these practices in your toolbox and so on. So that's where I'm at.
Great. TBD on the membership. Yeah. But it'll be amazing.
Coming soon.
Great. Awesome. I have, if you'd like to download the free energetic survival guide that I wrote up, you can access that through my website, joyofenergy.com. And there's just an option to download that. It has a lot of tools and practices. There are a bunch of practice prompts in there that you can start including in your daily practice right away to support your clearing, grounding, energetic centering, and cultivation and protection practices. So that's my free invitation for you. Otherwise, if you would like to receive support in a one-on-one capacity, I have my standard come work with me for 6 months and receive really in-depth mentorship and support and transformational work and practices. And then I also, in light of our global upheaval situation, I am opening up space for just a couple of people who want to come in as a more session-by-session basis, so you don't necessarily have to come into a full contract, to receive support from me in working with the codes and activations and initiations of COVID-19 in your life, or otherwise working with your practices and setting up your service, getting your practice and personal power fully online. So you can reach me through my website, joyofenergy.com. If either of those options are interesting to you, again, getting one-on-one support with me to get your energy in highest expression and highest alignment through this time. In terms of our other resources that we have available to you, we did mention a few episodes that we invite you to tune back into. We have some other stuff on activations and initiations. We've got a couple episodes focusing on personal practice, so recommend that you tune back in with those. You can access all of our past episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Please subscribe. Please like things. Please share. This information is really important. So in this episode or in any other episode, if you think other people would benefit, please share it out. Just, you know, tag us or, you know, make sure people know that it's us, or write the name and help get the word out so other people can benefit from this information too. We're all in this together. And if you would like to support our work financially, you can make a donation. You can become a patron of our work at Patreon. That's patreon.com/shamansistersessions. Or just look for Shaman Sister Sessions on Patreon. You can donate even as little as $1 a month, and that is super, super helpful to support us in our upload costs and all of our production fees associated with producing this podcast. Or you can make a one-time donation if you like to through PayPal to shamansistersessions@gmail.com. And we really appreciate your support. We do want to continue to offer this for free, and your donations make that possible. Thank you, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Stay healthy, everybody.
Time.
Bye.
Bye.